Hi, friends. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Live with Rye, the podcast where I bring you some of the best interviews with some of the biggest heavy hitters in the Broadway entertainment pop culture world. I'm so excited today to welcome my very special guest, who I also have the privilege to consider a friend. He is the co-creator, co-book writer, and director of Figaro, a new musical, and the director of the new off-Broadway show, which just recently finished its limited run engagement, White Rose the Musical. Please help me welcome the one, the only, Will Nunziata.
All right. You and your beautiful intros. I really need to like Venmo you for them. I mean, you and my mom have the best intros of me.
Oh my God, really? Well, at least I called you the right name this time.
Remember? Hey, oh my God, that was hilarious.
When I introduced you as your brother's name?
Well, right. It's so funny you mentioned that. I was just with someone else for an interview last week. And when they were interviewing one of the cast members for the Figaro album, he announced me as Anthony, knowing me more. I had a great career with my brother and he's doing great. So
yes.
I am releasing the fact that, yes, we are twins and people get confused.
Yes. Well, I love it. I love it. Well, Will, before we begin and dive into your two projects, tell us just a little bit about you and your background and, what you do for those who don't know.
Oh, well, I'm going to try to keep this short because for anyone that knows me, you give me 5 minutes, I'll give you 5 hours. So I'm going to try to keep this short. Basically, my name is Will, obviously, and I was born in Brooklyn, raised in Westchester, and I began my career as a professional singer, beginning when I was 10 years old, performing with my brother, doing jingles. Then after graduating Boston College, had a beautiful 10-year career with my brother, performing across the country and around the world with a lot of pop symphony orchestras and in theaters and performing arts centers. Culminated in 2016 with co-headlining Carnegie Hall with the New York Pops. And then after that, really went after my directing career, which was from a very early age, something that I was always fascinated with, but really didn't know what a director did. All I knew, especially after the Carnegie experience, Rye, that one day I would be giving others their downstage Carnegie Hall moment figuratively. And so here we are.
Here we are indeed. And you have so much going on and you are doing so much. One of the things that you're doing is you're the director of the new musical, White Rose, the musical, which just concluded its limited run off Broadway. Highly anticipated, highly successful. It had a great cast. And I got to see it. It was just beautiful. It was riveting, beautiful, gorgeous, and timely. Timely, unfortunately, with everything going on right now, still with all the anti-Semitism. But it was just, the music was so great. And so tell us a little bit about what it was like to have the White Rose and, you know, any maybe sort of future plans.
Thanks, Rye. You know, look, it was such a beautiful experience, not only with this amazing creative team, obviously led by the lyricist, librettist Brian Belding, the composer Natalie Bryce. We had Tony and Grammy Award winner Charlie Rosen as our orchestrator, the incredible Broadway pianist musical director Sheila Ramesh, and the whole entire team was incredible, like you said, to tell this unfortunately timely story, but also a story, Bri, and why I said yes to it. I didn't know who the White Rose were, and in obviously doing my research and, you know, speaking with audience members after the show, so many here in the United States, and even those who have history backgrounds, didn't know much about this group of young people from the University of Munich during Nazi Germany who spoke truth to power, who created, distributed leaflets against the lies of Hitler. And, the run went great. It was, like you said, beautifully received. And due to a friendship with Van Dien, he introduced me to the amazing Michael Kreuter and the lovely people at Yellow Sound Label, who recorded the world premiere recording, which will be available in May. And special shout out to executive producer Jeff Laurinaitis, who made it all possible. And maybe some future plans of the next production overseas. And that's all I'm going to say.
Very exciting, very exciting. Well, for those who are fans of White Rose, we have a lot to look forward to. I love that. One of the other projects you're currently working on, which has been making also a big splash, is Figaro, a new musical. You're the co-creator, co-book writer, and director. So tell us a little bit about Figaro, a new musical, and I know a lot has been happening with that.
Yeah, you know, that came about during the pandemic, Rye. Well, all of us were locked up. You know, I felt so creatively stifled, like all of us did, right? And so April 2020, I was just like kind of looking for collaborators online. And I came across Ashley online in her pop songs. And I was listening to them and being like in my little crazy head, oh my God, she writes little playlists. Like her pop songs for me were like beautiful stories. And in my head, I'm like, I got to contact this girl because I feel like she's got a musical in her. I contacted her. I found out that all she ever wanted to do was write a musical. And over 2 year period, Rye, we created Figaro, an original musical with her coming to me once a week. We would do like beat by beat. We would go like storyline by storyline. And she'd come back to me each week with a song or two regarding in regards to whatever story we wanted to, you know, move forward with. And yeah, so that's how that kind of came about.
Amazing. And what is Figaro about?
That's a great question. Why? Well, you know, a lot of people think it has to do, which is fine because it's a known IP. It has to do maybe with the Figaro opera and all of that good stuff. But actually the name Figaro came about from Ashley in that she had this song that she had written years ago. And this the song actually is our opener and our closer. And a lot of the lyrics haven't changed. And to answer your question, Figaro, it's set in mid-1800s Italy. It's an original musical and it's a haunting, beautiful tale of Sienna, a young woman who dreams of singing but feels imprisoned by her life on her father's farm. When a chance encounter with two young orphans thrusts her into the life of a traveling performer, she meets the handsome Figaro, who promises to make all her dreams come true. But there's always a price to fame. It's part love story, part mystery. Sienna's journey to discover herself and live the life she's always wanted is fraught with twists and turns until it culminates in a moment that will change the course of her life forever.
Wow. Uh-oh. Dun, dun, dun. Well, I have to say, the world premiere cast recording is out. And I mean, I love, I'm looking at the photo now of the album cover. It's just so beautiful. And so it's everything sort of you described and how you would describe, you know, Figaro. It's so exciting. So what did you learn about yourself in the process of this?
Well, first and foremost, the first thing I learned was, you know, really setting the terms early, that although people might, who know of Figaro, Barbara, Seville, whatnot, that this is different. It was very important for me, you know, Hal Prince is a hero of mine. Who isn't a fan of Hal Prince?
And of course,
one of the biggest things that I took away from learning about him was how important the show curtain was. He had Boris Aronson, his set designer, always set the terms with a show image. So I was like, okay, if this album is the show for now, right? And our album cover is the show curtain. How do we set the terms that this is from the POV of a woman? And, you know, with this whole figurative and literal blindfold that when people listen to the album and eventually the show, they'll understand that, you know, significance. But it was creating that image of that woman in that provocative, evocative image. And so with the amazing people in London at Bob King Creative, they created our Sienna for our album cover. And if there's anything else I learned from the experience, obviously, not only the experience of working with this incredible company of Broadway's best, but I learned a lot about, I learned a lot about letting go of the how, Rye. Wow. You know, Ashley and I created this in the darkest time in our world's history. And yet this show became a light. And when we started putting out, special shout out to my friend Logan Colwell Block at Playbill, these little exclusives of behind the scenes of the recording, you just never know who's watching. And so my friend Van Deen listened to it, was listening to these Playbill and loved it. He's like, I need to introduce you to my friends in London, these general managers, producers at Carter Dixon McGill. And that's how that whole London like next step happens. Right. I guess if there's anything I learned that I want to shout out to all the artists out there, anyone, but especially artists, do the thing and just let go of the how and you never know.
That's amazing. And yeah, I mean, the London response to it was, seems like it was so great.
Yeah, I mean, so much so that the people at Carter Dixon McGill are working with our producing team here in the States. We have a producing team in London, in bringing this, you know, to the West End, in some sort of incarnation. You know, I will be able to say more soon, but what I can say is that early 2025, Figaro, an original musical, will be on the West End.
Wow, that's amazing. And you know, I mean, that's the best place to start any new musical. First off, London audiences are like no other. They really appreciate theater. But it's always good to start a new musical in the West End. It, you know, get exposure, experience, get the London audience, and it's also a lot cheaper.
Well, I mean, Rai, you hit the nail on the head about the money. They definitely have an economic model that really works well for them. And on top of that too, I think Ashley's genius score is a throwback, not intentional, but is a throwback to those epic 80s and 90s scores. And if you look at all of those musicals, they all began in London. And I also feel that the fact that the show is set in Europe, but also on top of that, really leans into this musical sensibility that I'm not saying a Broadway audience won't chime into, because they will when it comes here, but there's just something very European about the feel of it that I feel like London West End is the right first move. But
and tell me a little bit about how you decided on the cast for the recording. Like, how did you get those fabulous performers lined up?
Well, you get it. I mean, you know, look, sometimes you're in the business long enough and you become friends with your heroes. And I'm so grateful that our title character is sung and acted geniusly by my dear friend, Mauricio Martinez, who I've cast in many things that I've directed and will continue.
Love Mauricio. We had him on the podcast. Yeah.
He's the best. Kaylee Capaldi is our Sienna, a genius talent who is right now over in Utah doing Elsa, playing Elsa in the regional premiere of Frozen. We have Broadway legend T. Oliver Reed playing Sienna's father. We have Jake Workman, who is once in a generation talent, playing Gia. We have our amazing composer, lyricist, co-creator, co-book writer, Ashley Janna, playing Lucia. And we have these two amazing kids, Lily Bell Morgan, superstar of a talent, and also Benjamin Pajak, who many know.
Yes, as Wim, love him.
From the Music Man Revival and Oliver in the New York City Center Revival of Oliver. I mean, I'm very grateful. I'm grateful that we were able to kind of stack it with some really genius talent. I'm beyond thrilled that that audiences across the country and around the world get to hear this company first singing this
musical. Yes. And what a company indeed. I mean, crazy. Now, hopping over back to White Rose, when, because there's still so much buzz around it, how did you go about creating and going about with that cast? Because that had a terrific cast, a few people I know in it, but also, I mean, Sam Gravitt, who is just terrific, and Joe Allen Perlman, and, Ellis Gage, who's a friend, and everyone in between. And so how did you go about sort of, finding that cast for that perfect show?
Well, it was definitely a collaboration with the amazing Daryl Eisenberg of Eisenberg Casting, who's a dear friend. And I'm so happy we finally got to collaborate together on this show. We were off Broadway, but I wanted to cast it as if it were Broadway. It's just how my mind works. And so it was tough because there's a lot of great young talent out there. I also wanted to work with, again, talent that I not only knew were talented, but also people that I knew were kind and also were, again, in my mind, once in a generation talent. So, you know, everyone from Joellen Pellman to be able to give her professional stage debut. You know, when she graduated UMich, she went basically right into that beautiful performance in the prom movie. And
my God,
I felt like her holding that baton of this badass female, Sophie Scholl, would be correct. Then we have my friend Mike Cefalo, who I collaborated on tons of things to play Han Stroll, riveting performance. And then of course it worked out that, you know, I really got a lot of my first choices, Kennedy Kanagawa and Cole Thompson.
Oh, yes.
After Star Turns in the Into the Woods revival.
Yes, yes. Milky White.
Hello, Milky White and Jack.
Milky White and Jack, yes, yes. Hello, Into the Woods.
Sam Gravitt, as you mentioned, an amazing talent whom, you know, I've always wanted to work with. His mom, Debbie, Tony Award winner, Debbie Shapiro Gravitt, whom I've worked with before. Laura Sky Herman, Danny Apple, Ellis Gage, Pasquale Cruciata, Cal Mitchell, Pelham.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
From Cinderella.
Yes, I was going to say, from Cinderella. It's just crazy. And he just left Funny Girl on Broadway. And I mean, what, you know, you talk about ultimate 90s nostalgia. I remember when he joined Funny Girl and everybody was just dying because that was our Prince Charming. That's Prince Charming. And, or sorry, Prince, you know, the Prince's name. Yeah.
Whatever it is. He's our Prince Charming.
Prince, yeah. Uh-huh. And so, you know, it was amazing to see.
Well, look, I think, you know, a lot of people have asked, well, how did you get all these people to say yes? And you know what? I didn't get anyone to say yes. What I think I got them to do was read a libretto and hear the music of an important story. And meeting with each of these actors before they were cast was also a really beautiful time to let them know of my vision, but to also remind them that this was going to be a best idea wins environment because it's a new material, but it's also just, as you know, Rye, it's just how I work. So I'm so grateful for that experience and excited that it's gonna live on with this world premiere recording coming out in May. And then the forthcoming production that, you know, next time we talk, I'll be able to give you more details about.
I love that. I love that. Well, you know, finishing up here, what advice would you give to creatives today's world who sort of are taking the path that you're taking, or who are a creative, who are a director, who are a writer, who are an actor, sort of that multi-hyphenate lens and sphere, as we call it. What advice would you give to them in today's world in pursuing a project in any realm, no matter whether it's, you know, in what I mentioned or another realm?
It's a great question, Rye. And first off, thank you so much for having me. You're amazing at this. You know, I told you, I just think not only are you an incredible multi-hyphenate, but, you know, again, you meet kind humans in this industry that you just want to continue to not only root for, but, you know, be a part of their journey. And
thank you.
I adore you. And I just think so highly of you. And so first off, thank you for having me today.
Thank you. Oh, well, thank you for doing this.
To answer your question, first and foremost, I would say, if you have an idea, do it. If you have an idea, don't wait for the phone to ring, do it. Just create it, put it up there, let go of the how. I would also remind people out there to stay kind, to stay curious, and to keep going.
Wow. Kind, curious, and keep going. I love that. That is so amazing. Well, Will, thank you so much today for chatting with us, or chatting with me, rather. I hope everyone listens to Figaro, a new musical, keeps up with the White Rose. And lastly, where can they keep up with you?
What's my handle? Oh, it's at Will Nunes Official. And people are like, Will, why is it official? I'm like, I was hacked a few years ago and had to like become one with the official. So it's at Will Nunes Official.
Uh-huh. Love that. Love that. And you all can also continue to keep up with me across social media at Rye_Myers on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and on Facebook at Official Rye Myers. Will, thank you so much. This was so incredible. It was so great to see you.
You too, Rye. Thank you for everything.
That was amazing.